I'm not going to say, but maybe a verse or two. This is for next week. We need to just pray for each other. But I do want to read you this one verse just to make you hungry. Mechanics. You know, I was thinking mechanics, and Danny would know this, and Mike would know this, and several of y'all would know this, but you know what the word mechanics means, don't you? The mechanics of something, what's that mean? It means the how-to, how it works, how to fix it, how to work on it, how to make it work for you, right? Or so sometimes I apologize. You know, I can teach you a good lesson. I can teach you some things God's shown me, but you really need the mechanics of it. You know, and I don't always do that, and I apologize when I don't. But you need to know how to make God's word work for you. And I'm not saying that it's a, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying it's a, a formula. Okay, I'm not saying that. You know, Reuben said before revival fell, he said, when the pattern is right, then the glory will fall. But it's not about a pattern. Your heart's got to be engaged in it too. You know, you can't just, if I do this. It's like Kristen was saying, you know, you can do all the right things and you can do them for the wrong reason with no compassion. It's like when you pray for sick people. You know, sometimes you just pray for sick people because they're sick and you know you're supposed to do it. But sometimes you pray for people because you've got compassion for them. And you look at them and go, oh, God, what would it feel like to be like this, you know? And you actually start relating to what's going on in them. And when you do that, when you weep for people and you look at people and you think, oh, my God, what would it be like to live like this, you know? And maybe you even experience that, but you know, we're all guilty. And I think the Holy Spirit showed me a verse that we all quote it and we all love it because it just feels so good. And you question yourself sometimes and go, well, God, why isn't it working? It's Philippians 4:13. You probably know it, but I want you to go there and read it on your phone or your Bible. Just please, if you don't have a Bible, could you sit with somebody? Have you not got a Bible with you, Rachel? Could you sit beside somebody that's got one, would you? I want you to see it with your eyes. Y'all got it? By the way, this is Paul, and he's speaking to the believers in Philippi. He's speaking to the church. I would say churches, probably, but he's speaking to the church. And I want to just y'all just stay right where I told you. But I want to read the first couple of verses of chapter 1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants, which is one who gives himself up to another's will, those whose service is used by Christ in extending and advancing his cause among men, devoted to one another to the disregard of one's own interest. In other words, your own interest becomes unimportant. Your own wants and desires become unimportant. And I listen, you know, you can be like those religious people back in the Middle Ages and stuff, and you can make you a whip or a can of nine tails. You can take your shirt off and beat yourself in the back until you bleed, and that does not please God at all. He wants us to be a living sacrifice. He don't want us to be a wounded and dead sacrifice. He wants us to be a living sacrifice. But a willing servant, a bond servant, y'all know what a bond servant is? A bondservant is a servant or a slave that chose to be a servant or a slave. It'd be like if Cy came up to me and said, Pastor Mark, I want to be your servant. I want to take care of mowing your yard. I want to take care of everything that you've got to do around the house. I just want to take over any physical duties you've got, right? And to prove it, I'm going to lay my ear up here on this wooden table, and you're going to run an awl through it. You're going to run this big old thing through it, and then you're going to put an earring in there, and it's going to say, I belong to you. My life belongs to you. My labor belongs to you. Everything belongs to you. And they used to do that. But we are to become Jesus's bondservant. We're to lay our ear up there and go, look, everything I have is yours. Everything I do is yours. Everything I want will be what you want. And none of us have attained that. But that's what Paul had probably come real close to attaining that. So anyway, this is where he was coming from. Now, think how somebody that had become a bondservant, how would you respond to your master's orders? It's like a good marriage, okay? It's like Donna says, you know, this would be a good thing to do. And I'll go, you're right, that would be a good, you know, we don't always agree, but you know what? I'm going to do what I can to help Donna be happy. You know, and there's that goofy old Jezebel saying, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. That's crap. Really, that's a perversion of marriage and what God wants to do in it. No, if Donna's not happy, I can't be happy because our relationship, I want her to be happy, right? Does that make sense? And you know, Jesus is coming for a bride. So we want our groom to be happy, don't we? He wants his church to be happy. And I'm not talking about la, la, la happy. I meant functioning properly, right? Well, I said I wasn't going to do all that, so never mind. Philippians 4:13. I want you to look at this in the light it was written. And really, we'll have to read the whole chapter to get that. We're not going to do that today, but I just kind of would like you to meditate on that this week. Okay, who did we say wrote this scripture? Who wrote this? Paul, right? How many of y'all know we can claim scripture for ourselves, can't we? I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. But you know what? You can't claim what Paul claims unless you're doing what Paul did. Right? Is that true? I can go to John Kilpatrick and come around, and you talk about somebody's, come on, if you've ever been around, he would be from about here to Mike and Jenny, and the closer he got, and you'd have your eyes closed, you'd feel these waves of power. And he wouldn't even have to touch you, because by the time he got about right here, Jenny'd already be squirming in the floor. Now, Mike's got a high glory tolerance. No, really, that's not a bad thing. He can stand. But we, you know, it's like John Kilpatrick goes, Jesus, more, fresh anointing. And they fall out in waves of glory. Bam, 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 bam. And they feel like they're going through a washing machine and put in one of those ringers. You know what I mean? You've got that anointing that he carries. It's the same Holy Spirit. But guess what? What did they do to Moses? They put a veil over him. Not because the light was blinding people, but because they didn't want to watch the glory fade. See, John Kilpatrick don't have to have somebody lay hands on him before he goes and preaches. He's carrying the glory and the anointing. And it sounds like I'm making idols, but I'm not. The same with Paul. Paul carried an anointing. Paul carried the ability to write words of life. He could write out words that would change atmospheres. He could write out words that would be the destiny of the church, right? And it's still alive. That word is just as alive as the day it was delivered to Philippi. No difference. So you got to look at it in the light of Paul is speaking. And who is Paul? He's very anointed. He's been shipwrecked. He's been beaten with a cat of nine tails 4 times, I believe. Maybe more than that. Twice, 39 lashes. Jesus only did that once. I mean, he didn't care what people did to him. He didn't care what people thought about him. And the Bible says, he said, people would get on him because he said, you're more strong in your letters than you are in person. So he evidently wasn't a real charismatic person in person, but he was anointed to do what he was anointed to do. Would you agree with that? Amen. And read this verse here. I can. Paul is saying this. I can do all things through who? Christ, who strengthens me. I can do anything through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. But you got to read four. You got to read all the verses before that, or I'm just giving you fluff. Everyone in this room could do anything. You could do anything for the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ who strengthens you, right? And Christ means what? Christ means the anointed one. You can do it through I think the word for anointing is charisma, or it's the visible, it's the oil, it's the unction of the Holy Spirit. You can do anything. But, and again, this is not works. Please, don't look at this as works. Look at it as a bondservant. I do this because Elizabeth and Caleb do this. You do worship for God because you love God. You don't do it because you don't do it because you're expected to do it. You know, you do it because you love Jesus. You do it because you love Jesus. Y'all do it because you love Jesus. You can do all things through the anointing. You can do all things through Jesus Christ. Who what? Who strengthens you. If you press into Jesus, if you fellowship with Jesus, you will get stronger in the Spirit. If you fellowship with the cares of the world, if you fellowship with the business of staying alive, and I'm not saying you don't have to do that, but if you spend time fellowshipping and worry and fear, and that song that Jamie sung was, I'm no longer, what is it? Help me, Jesus. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Let's face it, guys, we still are. Sometimes we're still a slave to fear, doubt, worry, and it consumes you, man. There is nothing that will tear you apart in your spiritual victory more than fear. So I wish you, I'm asking you to read that chapter. Read the whole chapter, and then we'll study it next week. But I want y'all to get a head start on that because, you know, I think it says the joy of the Lord. It talks about all the wonderful things that God will do for us. But it talks about finally, brethren, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are honest, whatever things are of good report. It talks about thinking on these things. So you got to constantly get your mind right. You got to constantly renew your mind. And you won't get it renewed in front of the TV. And you won't get it renewed on YouTube. I'm not saying there's not good things on there, but you know what I'm saying? It's like that becomes your Christian life. Oh, what did Prophet da-da-da do? What did da-da-da-da do? And what did da-da-da Apostle da-da-da do? And what did do-da-do-da do? It's all good stuff. But God's going, what did you do? I want to read about what you did on YouTube. So, praise the Lord, it's not condemnation. He wants to know what you... He wants to know your victories. He wants to celebrate victory with you. Oh, victory in Jesus, right? Praise the Lord. So let's stand up. Could y'all do that assignment last week? Would y'all mind doing that another week? And would you mind adding to that, read Philippians 4? Not only reading it, but pressing into it and looking at every word and say, what is this saying, God? What are you saying to me? I don't want to hear what you're saying to Deb. I want to hear what you're saying to me. I don't want to hear what you're saying to Pastor Mark. I want to hear what you're saying to me. And God's going to give you revelation. And God is going to give you dreams. He's going to give you spiritual dreams this week. And you're even going to get visions while you're studying this, if you will do that. You press into the secret place of the Most High. You force yourself to get up and worship Him when the sun's coming up. Oh, I hate that. Well, do it when the moon's coming up. Just do it, okay? Whatever your schedule is, do it. Hallelujah, Lord. God bless. Bless these saints again. Y'all are saints, man. You are saints. Praise God. You are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who strengthens you. God, bless the saints of God, Lord. Bless them going out. Bless them coming in, God. Bless them with all the fruit of the Spirit, Lord. Bless them with the gifts, God. Bless them with prophetic words for people, God. And as they go into restaurants today, God, let them rise up. Let them be the light. Let them rise up in Jesus' name and be what they're called to be, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I was going to ask Samuel if he wanted to pray for somebody, but you stay right there. If you like prayer to confirm that, Amy, Glenna, Danny, y'all did a pretty good job. Come on up here. Praise the Lord.